topic I'm sharing today is making God real in our Orthodox Christian home. As we all know, our Christian home or any home is the foundation of a Christian home is the foundation of effective, genuine, and spiritual service, right? Because we don't have a strong family or a strong home in the Lord, we're not going to be able to serve anyone. It's right here. And we all know that our true relationship with Jesus reflects at home. Many of us, we behave well or polite outside the office, outside the home, you know, in the office, at school, with friends, but not often we're that polite at home, or pleasant with each other, or... it's just not a thing that we do. We take it for granted, we take our loved ones for granted. Anyway, so why is it hard to be polite or to be loving at home? We shake people's hand, we give them hugs, we're very polite, we don't say anything offensive in the office or the workplace or our fellow servants, but why is it hard to be nice to our brothers, sisters, mom, dad, or even children? We're often, you know, just barking orders or just unpleasant things. Why is that? Yeah, well, the work. Yeah. Right. But often the workplace or outside the home is where people really drives us nuts, right? The workplace. But how are we and why are we holding it in? Why are we not taking it out on them? Why are we coming home and taking it out on our family? Exactly. Mom still cooks. Dad still loves you, your sister and your brother, whoever still loves you, right? So we often take things for granted at home. Exactly that, you know, and that shouldn't be. So to be nice at home, we get nothing for it, so we think, right? Because no outsider see our good deeds, you're not going to get a raise or a bonus, no comments, no praises, no recognition often. So we don't need to exert any effort. They should pamper us. We've had a long day, right? But we have to be aware that this is, you know, Pharisaic in nature because we do one thing and we behave one way outside the home. And then when it's not seen by men is when we break down and we let loose everything that's ugly and terrible on our loved ones. And it's not good. And like Nardine said, we're two-faced. You know, we praise, we worship, we build churches for God, we come here and, you know, we put all our efforts in here, but we don't often bring God home. We leave him here. We don't bring the patience, the love, the forgiveness, everything back to our loved ones who actually need it most because that's where we need to build our family. And it's important that we remember that we have to build our church at home. We need that strong church in order for this real church to be even a stronger church. Why do we need to bring Jesus home in our personal spiritual life? As servants, that's the only way to serve effectively with the Holy Spirit, with his power, right? And also, to serve others, we must serve ourselves first. I mean, it sounds selfish, but it's like the airplane. When you get on, you have to put your mask on first before you help others. Because if you collapse, no one's going to help your kid. Same here. If you're going to be a good, effective servant, you have to fill yourselves up first before you help your kids, whether it's your children at home or others that you serve outside the home. So as we all know, any healthy family unit is the foundation of any society. And then it has a repercussion effect, which also a healthy church, right? So just a few steps how to bring Jesus home. First thing is prayer, of course. We know we have to keep it up regularly. daily, as often as we can, not only just with us, but with our families. I find that, you know, where our kids are little, they also need a lot of help and encouragement. They need to understand the prayers they're saying and why they're saying it. We need to set a good example so that if your kids see you praying, they imitate it. Even if they're lazy, the image is already in their head. And you'll be surprised how many times they remind us to pray when we're tired or lazy. So it goes both ways. And this is a famous saying, we need to pray together because wherever two or three are gathered in the Lord's name, he is in their midst. As you all know as well, we need to sit at the Lord's feet to restart, replenish, and reset. Because oftentimes, you know, it's been a long day. I get home, kids are also, you know, a handful. Sit with at the Lord's feet. He'll replenish and reset and restart everything for you. And of course, we all know, praying in the morning, at night, driving in the car. Lots of opportunities, and you know, there's different types of prayers, but we won't go into that. It could be the Arrow Prayer, personal prayers, and the Ishbeya. Try and memorize as many Psalms as you can, so that way you can recite them automatically. It'll just pop in your head, depending on the situation. It helps a lot. We basically should carry God wherever we go, not just as servants, but as parents, as you know, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers. The second thing is Bible. Of course, you know, to read it daily, alone, and with your family. Of course, when you have kids, it's very important. It's not only just bonding time with them, but it's also a time where they can ask you questions and you answer. As we all know, the Bible is very deep. It has so many, I mean, you can spend a whole lifetime and you still don't understand all the beautiful messages and meanings and everything. So spend that time with your kids, explain to them things, and you're building mini servants right there, mini children of God. So everything you put into them, it's a good investment. You'll never regret it. On top of the Bible, we have spiritual books, Lives of Saints, of course, cynics are. Lots and lots of spiritual books outside, from Mother Irene to other ones. Read with them, read with your children, nourish them. It's a good bonding time. Just one quick quote from St. Paul to St. Timothy. He's reminding St. Timothy to continue in what he's learned, specifically the Holy Scriptures, that will help him towards his salvation. Third thing is ministering at home. It's easy enough that we should all be able to do. Call, check up, say hello to people, whether they're lonely, sick, tired, you didn't see them at church. So it's not just to the kids that you serve directly, but to all those that in your community, you know, could be your neighbors, could be anyone. Make them feel the love of God. Make your home inviting and welcome to all, helping your neighbors, as I mentioned. And St. Paul says this, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. What this means is basically love everyone. Use this time now that you're given to redeem everything that you've lost basically to useless activities. So if you're going to do something useless, don't. Redeem that time. Use it for good. Another thing I find very important is to spend time with your spouses and your children. I know, you know, you spend time with your children. That's great. But don't forget to spend the time with your spouses as well. Because if the husband and the wife aren't strong, the marriage is going to fall apart. Even if you both love your children, but the initial bond is not strong, your marriage is going to be in trouble. So spend time with your spouses. We need a good godly influence on our family. And I'll show you why. This is from Bishop Suriel's sermon from Australia in the 60s. This is ranked in the order most influential to the least in a young person's life. Okay, in the 60s, the first thing that most influential to a person's life, a young person's life, is family. Then you see church, then friends, then school. In the 80s, friends had jumped to first, family has moved to second, and then media, because that's when you're starting to have, you know, a lot of the computer high-tech stuff coming out, rock videos and all that stuff. Then school is still fourth. In the 90s, Media has moved to number one, friends still number two, school's now number three, and four is now family. So that means that the kids will listen and imitate what they see on TV or radio, which is media number one, and they'll listen to their friends. Then whatever they see in school, they'll imitate before they even listen to you as mom and dad. So, and you can see that church has dropped off already since the 80s. So it's super important to influence your family unit, in a godly way. Because you can see that church is no longer an influence since the 80s. And now, I'm pretty sure in the year 2000 and onwards, family's probably not even on number four. Fourth thing we need to have at home is purity. We need to keep our homes pure from everything that is non-godly, whether it's sin, gossip, bad company, evil words. We have to guard our homes. We don't bring garbage into our living room. Why would we be listening to garbage music, having bad friends, or having even bad habits at home? That is considered garbage, and that's the garbage in God's temple. So we have to be careful, you know, lots of internet, lots of TV, music and games. Like Abuna always says, these days the devil really makes it easy for us, you know, with a click of a button, pornography and bad lyric music, everything is just literally at your fingertip. Kids now, they do school projects and they look for a simple topic, Isaac Newton. And on the side, it pops up with all kinds of bad advertisement. And these are young kids, you know, 10, 11-year-olds, just doing simple school projects. So you have to be careful. You have to be there to chaperone them, see what they're doing, guard them. Keep them pure and keep your house pure. And as you know, even the FIFA games, if you watch in between, what are the commercials? Cars, women, beauty, drinking. So, you know, things aren't as innocent as they seem. We have to be really critical and see what's out there and guard yourself, guard your family. We have to watch what we say on the phone. And of course, we're, you know, good Christians, good servants. We're not going to swear and do all these, you know, say all these bad things at home, but be careful. You know, if you've had a long day and you want to vent to your brothers, sisters, or your spouse, make sure your kids aren't around because they don't fully understand everything and they just, you know, misunderstand and stuff. So be careful what you say at home to each other on conversations as well. The fifth item is avoid laziness. As we all know, when we're lazy, we're idle, leads to sin. And in the least, if you're not thinking sinful thoughts or doing sinful things, it's a waste of time. It's not godly time. We need to prioritize, put God first before everything. And again, another quote from St. Paul, similar to the other one, basically walk wisely, redeeming the time, make good use of your time. This point I find very important. Serve your own family, help out, and share in the burden. I find that often we're so busy serving everyone else except our family, whether it's dishes, vacuuming, folding laundry, whatever it is, I find that it's not balanced at home. In many, many homes, whether it's your mom and dad needing help or your brother, sister with homework or whatever it is, we tend to put service of the church above all else, but then we neglect our family at home. So the family life is like we're living a double life. It's not really balanced. It's not what it should be. We need to nurture our family, make our family strong. And that's through sharing in the burdens because, as you all know, especially the ones who are married and have kids, married life is hard. It's tough. We must be a Mary and a Martha. There's a story I heard. There's this young monk in the monastery. He walked by his fellow brethren monks who's working hard, slaving away, whatever. And he says, well, I'm above all this. You guys are just laboring away for the flesh. It profits nothing. I'm just going to go pray and worry about my spiritual life. Well, the elder, the abbot, is very smart. He told all the monks and said, take this spiritual monk, put him in the church, let him pray, and don't call him when it's mealtime because he's praying. Don't disturb him. So after he prayed the entire day, He's hungry. He comes out. He asks the abbot, like, did the brethren eat? Yes, they ate. How come they didn't call me? So the abbot said, well, I thought you were spiritual. We're the fleshly, the carnal ones who need food. You don't need food. And so that's when he knelt down. He asked for forgiveness because he realized that you need both. You can't be lazy. You can't just do one and not the other. And the abbot concluded saying that without Mary, without Martha, you wouldn't have a Mary. You need to be both at home, Mary and Martha. You need to have, you need to sit at the Lord's feet, and you need to serve, work and faith. Sixth item is strive for orthodoxy. We need to always increase our knowledge, whether it's through reading, through research, through whatever. And I find that sometimes it's the Sunday school lesson is great because you need to dig in to prepare the lesson and everything. But that alone is not enough to build your faith, to build your knowledge on the church. And it's just not just to serve the kids. Even if whenever we stop serving, we need to continue to grow in our faith. We need to be grounded to whether to pass on the torch to another servant or to continue to teach our kids and, you know, to become good Coptic Christians. And there's lots of resources, as you all know, books, liturgy, sermons, songs, hymns. You can, you know, the car, anywhere. And one of St. Paul's quotes, he's basically saying, hold firm to your faith and the traditions what we're taught. We have lots of beautiful traditions. We have a wonderful faith. Hang on to it. And the second quote to Timothy, he said, you know, reminded him that his grandmother and his mom is the one who passed on the faith to St. Timothy. So remember that and hang on to it. The seventh item is to make your home holy. I'm sure we all have it, pictures of the Lord, St. Mary, and saints on the walls, different icons. They not only encourage a spiritual atmosphere, but you actually do get blessings from these holy, you know, saints and our Lord themselves because you're remembering them. And we all know that the Lord bombards us with lots of worldly reminders. And we look at them and we don't really think twice that we're actually being saturated with so many useless, sometimes even sinful things. I mean, you see kids wearing their idols t-shirts. That's an icon that's, you know, that's not godly. Or a typical teenage room. If you look any typical teenager's room, you will see lots of images of what movie stars or whatever it is. That's just not appropriate. And there's not any or very few Christian images. We need to counter that in our home. We need to have a good holy reminder of God and of godliness in our home, for not just for us, but for the sake of our kids. So just in conclusion, if we are not strong spiritually at home, we will see that service is a burden and church is a burden. Anything is a burden that's related to God, whether it's Vespers or Ishbaya or whatever, or prayer. We won't enjoy reading the Bible or praying and, of course, serving. And in our service itself, in Sunday school, we often feel very insecure and uncomfortable because we're not serving with the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we become defensive or sensitive, whether it's comments or criticism related to service, because we often look for attention and recognition, which is the outward stuff. We're not filled from the inside with the Holy Spirit. And this happens often too. We seek popularity with the children we serve. So we're drawing the children to us instead of to God, which is wrong. We're stealing the children from God. And of course, we're hypocritical because we're already behaving like Pharisees, you know, outside the home and inside the home. And we lack true humility. We worry about appearances, whether we're liked, whether the kids like us. Was the lesson really good today, and did the kids like it? And lastly, we're unable to be good role models. And we lose the focus of the meaning of service. So we basically are serving with no effectiveness, because we have no spiritual power. On the other hand, if we have strong spiritual life at home, we serve with conviction, with spiritual power in the Holy Spirit, just like St. Peter's sermon on Pentecost, and then in Acts, all the disciples' ministry that you've seen, the miracles they perform, and they're fearless. We want to be that way. We're confident. We shine in service because we know that we're not looking something for ourselves. We're not selfish. We're serving for God, and we know that He's got our back, that He's the one who's doing the real work. And because of that, we have true humility as well. The glory is not our own, but of God's. St. Paul's quote reminds us to be lights, right? We're the lights that shine out of the darkness, so be one. Be a good servant. And a healthy spiritual servant will also draw people to Christ because he or she is a reflection of Christ, and they don't try to draw the kids to themselves. And despite our hardships, our service will be very fruitful. You know, some servants are, you know, go through a lot, and we go through a lot at times, but whatever we do will multiply. And that's it. Thank you. Yeah. That's right. And I find it really, it's tricky and it's challenging because we're so Canadianized. Things that we watch, things that we listen to, the companies we keep, some are not godly, whether it's sitcoms or TV shows we watch. And I mean, to have a Christian home, you have to really scrutinize every single one of those. You know, and you can't go, oh, I must have this show, I must have this whatever. The only thing you must have is God. So you have to really, like, go through all those things and cut them out. And the sooner you do it, the better. Because as soon as the kids are a bit older, they'll start to see that. And then when you cut it out, when they're old enough to remember, and they go, how come you used to do that? I mean, it's never too late to turn your home into a Christian home, but the sooner you do it before you have kids, the better. Yeah, and even cartoons. I know some families just leave the kids watching cartoons, but if you watch the commercials in between, it's advertising junk food, it's advertising, you know, sometimes just things that are not appropriate and not Christian, you know, so we have to, yeah. Yeah, it's like, what can I touch anymore, right? What can I access? With the internet, you have to be there with your kids. For our kids, that's the way it has always been. They get on the computer to do some research. Either I'm there or Michael's there. What site are you going to? And they understand, and they've never taken it personally that we're controlling them, because they've seen. And to this day, you know, they know to push the window over so it blocks out the ads. So they're just reading their science data, whatever it is. And you have to be there and feed them with good things and criticize and point out the bad things about certain things. It's like teaching a kid how to ride a bicycle. They need the internet. It's no question, right? But you need to be there to guide every step of the way. In terms of TV, we don't have TV. It's whatever it is, it's not spiritual unless you have those Coptic Egyptian channels, but we don't understand Arabic, so even that we don't have. So that's it, like our kids. So you're absolutely right, though, because everything you do or they do, it's like, what can I touch? It's like poison everywhere. But you will know as a parent, because, and if you're God guided, the Lord will speak directly to you and say, watch your kid, don't do this, don't do that.
Curious,
Yeah. All of the answers to, I'm sure, all these questions come back to how strong are they grounded in our faith at home. If they pray, they fast from their heart. If they do good, they go to church from their heart, not being forced and not understanding why they're doing things, they will be the same strong kid in school. I've seen kids where they will correct their religion teacher because the religion teacher says the Bible, the Adam and Eve is just a myth. It's a Catholic church. The kids will stand up and correct the teacher and even get a bad mark. But the parents support the kids and the kids stand by it. So it's kind of easy and it's hard. It's easy if you set the track. That's the track they're going. We're going to church. We love God. We do the Ishbeah. We memorize Psalms. We don't do these things. It's bad. When you release them in the school, and if it's a genuine faith, they don't. I mean, of course, they get affected. They come home and tell you, but then you reaffirm, you confirm with them what they've learned, that what they're doing is right. Which is natural. It's very natural. But you have to be there to guide them. Like, I know that whether it's my kids or other kids in her class, like, she'll, like, what's a prom? So the time when she's asking that is not the time where you actually first talk to her. You have to talk to her since she's four. You know, the whirly dancing is bad since she's four. Not when she's 13, when she's, what is a prom? Because you need to feed her with a lot of ammunition and a lot of good stuff before she gets to that age. And you're right, there's a lot of curiosity. And because she's been fed since she's four, that the worldly dancing and the worldly music is not godly, it's easier when she is a little curious that you remind her of what was said. And actually, just a few weeks ago, you guys probably heard on the news, a guy was stabbed at the prom. Yeah. One of the girls came home and told her mom, like, you're right, mom, like, proms are not really a good place to go, because I heard one of my friend was there at the stabbing and she's devastated and all this stuff. So the things you feed them, if it is godly, somehow God will also reaffirm your teaching through these examples, and it's amazing. Yeah, it's. I heard recently a sermon by Bishop Musa of the Youth, He actually said up to a certain age, the Sunday school classes should be together, girls and boys, because otherwise the girls are like nuns and the guys are like monks. It's like they don't know how to deal and mix. And then when you get out there, you meet another worldly, you know, gender, and it's like, what do I do? So I think he didn't re-specify an age, but he was talking to a youth group. So I assume it's, you know, above 20 or something, you know, or even late high school. You have to merge. You have to let them interact in the presence of the servant, you know, for guidance and steering them in the right conversation. But they need that interaction to learn. Otherwise, yeah, I could see that happening.